With me now is a Texan folk rocker who packed up and chased his dreams when he moved to New York City in 2009. This is a guy with a powerful voice that writes his own songs and plays multiple instruments, and he pulls influence through everything from Motown to classical and alternative music. We definitely appreciate his eclectic music appreciation on a show like this. In addition to his own material, my guest has been making waves thanks to his cover of the Cars 80s hit Drive. It is my pleasure to welcome to the KETR studios a gentleman named Barton Stanley David. How are you doing, man? It's great to meet you.
I'm great, Matt. Thanks for having me. It's great to meet you, too.
I appreciate you making the trek out here to Commerce. This is one of these places that, you know, if you don't have an appointment here, you might just kind of drive by this place. A lot of people have heard of Commerce but have never stopped here, but I appreciate you braving the weather and all the wrecks on the roads out there and making it out here.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great to be here.
I know that he's not going to want to really participate as much in the interview, but we do also have another guest in here with us, Leon Carlo, who's going to be performing with you, and I thank you for coming in too, man.
My pleasure.
You know, I might try to pull you into the interview a little bit, but I'll try to let you just kind of chill over there.
Denton's own.
Yeah, that's right.
Happy to be here, guys.
Awesome. I appreciate having you, both of you special guests in here. It's always a lot of fun for me. Barton Stanley David, you're a native of Texas, so tell me a little bit about your roots here. You're from the Dallas area, aren't you?
From Dallas. My folks actually have a house not too far from here in Mount Vernon for about the past 30 years, so I know this area a little bit.
But, nice.
Yeah, I grew up in Dallas. Fifth generation Dallas, so my great-great-grandfather was a pioneer. He was the first one there.
So how long did you live in Dallas then?
You know, I grew up there, and I went down to Austin, to UT Austin, for college.
Okay.
So that was around, I won't date myself, but
all right.
You know, I was there until I was a teenager, and then spent 4 years in Austin, and then another couple years after that, kind of checking out the music scene. Yeah, and then I moved back to Dallas for a bit, LA for a minute, and then I've been in New York the past 10 years almost.
An interesting outlook on life that has got to bring you to live in all these different, these kind of iconic places that you have been. That's awesome, man.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
So I'm curious, did your family kind of encourage an interest in music with you?
They did. I don't know that they knew how serious I was about it until I kind of went the full-time music route after college. But they were always encouraging, and my dad actually sings in a cover band.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so he gets it.
May I ask, you know, who do they cover?
They stick to the kind of classic rock staples.
Okay, so they're not like a tribute band where they just do one act. They cover all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, gotcha. They cover a lot of territory.
Okay, well, that's pretty awesome, man. Yeah. you seem a little, reluctant to tell me that, but I...
Not at all. Forest Lane's the name of the band, if anybody's curious.
Okay, cool. There we go. A little cross plug there.
Yeah.
So, since you were into music when you were younger, you know, who were some of your early favorites that maybe still inspire you making music as you're making your own music now?
Gosh, I mean, I had so many. A lot of Texans, as a matter of fact. Willis Allen Ramsey was a big one for me. I was very into another Texas guy, Willie Hutch. I was really into kind of 70s soul.
Oh, cool.
As a kid. And then, I'm also a 90s kid, so I was kind of a grunge kid. I loved the scene in Dallas around that time. We had the Toadies.
Oh, yeah.
And Tripping Daisy. But I loved all the grunge stuff, Alice in Chains. And
that was when Deep Ellum was still Deep Ellum, too. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I know there's a resurgence now. It's just not the same.
Right. No, totally. And so a mix of that and Motown, some folky stuff. You know, I was a huge fan of 60s folk. You know, Joni Mitchell and Dylan, and of course, all the, you know, Neil Young was a big hero of mine.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I can definitely hear some of these influences in the originals that you're making today, and I appreciate you opening up on that. So, as you mentioned earlier, you eventually moved to Austin before leaving the state, and everybody knows that what a hotbed for music Austin is. I mean, was it, I hear sort of this resounding sentiment from people that live in Austin that they're like, you know, hey, there's no more room for any artists.
We're at
capacity here, you know, because it's like actors in LA or something.
Sure.
Everybody is a performing artist in Austin, right?
For sure. I mean, you know, so I will date myself. I started there in 1999, so it was a little bit different.
Okay, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it was more, and I went to South By every year for a long time, and it just wasn't what it's become. And it was tough for me because I hung out a lot in South Austin and used to see people like Jimmy LaFave and Eliza Gilkison and kind of follow them around, but I was a kid. I was kind of too young to hang.
Yeah, I understand.
But, you know, I was kind of getting the lay of the land, and it was great to be around all those great venues and and musicians.
Despite whatever success you may or may not have found there, I mean, it's a great experience to just kind of be exposed to all of these really talented people around
For sure.
Being able to go out to these shows every night, not the kind of thing you can do as easily in Dallas, you know. So
definitely, yeah.
Very cool. So, you know, what was it exactly that prompted you to move to New York City? I mean, was this just kind of a dream of yours that you've always had, or was there a certain, you know, moment where you said, this is it, I'm right. packing up and moving?
You know, I was always kind of fascinated by it, and then I got a chance maybe early 2000, you know, I took a trip there, my little brother had just moved there.
I see.
And so I got kind of a closer look at it. You know, I spent a couple of years sort of trying to move there. You know, at one point, I just kind of packed a suitcase and couch surfed
okay.
for a while until I found a sublet. And then, 10 years later, I'm still doing the same thing.
Well, that takes some guts, man. I mean, that's kind of one of those iconic things out of a movie, you know, where mm-hmm. a singer-songwriter says, hey, I got nothing but my dreams and, you know, this pair of clothes and this backpack.
Yeah, for sure.
And I'm heading out there to see what happens. I
for
mean,
sure.
that's got to be intimidating just on the cost of living alone there.
It was. It was a bit. I mean, it was exciting, too. And I got very lucky that I found a group of people who I'm still really close friends with about, I think I met them maybe the first or second week I was there.
Okay.
So I kind of fell into a cool scene with a lot of great, really sweet, talented people.
So that's certainly right. not unheard of for a Texan to want to go there.
No, in fact, I used to see Nora Jones around the neighborhood.
Oh, she's, yeah.
You know, in Brooklyn.
Absolutely. That makes sense. Yeah, I know that she pretty much lives there, so... Hey, if you're just joining us, I'm talking with Barton Stanley David, my special guest on 88.9 KETR. This is Notably Texan. I can't imagine that you made the trip to Commerce from New York City to sit here with me. So how often do you actually get back to Texas? I'm assuming you're back here like hanging out or visiting family, something like that.
A bit. I mean, to be honest, I've been toying with the idea of moving back.
Really?
And so, yeah, you know, it's been a long time I've been in New York, and so I'm kind of trying to transition to maybe
okay.
moving back, but it's tough. You know, I tried this a year ago, moving out of New York, and was here for a second and was in Denver for a second and then ended up right back there like
okay.
about 3 weeks later. And so we'll see what happens this time. But I make it back here, you know, a couple times a year to see friends and family. So
I'm devastated that you didn't drive all the way back here just to see me, man. That's well, I'll get over it. But,
that's right. Yeah.
So,
part of the reason.
So, Barton, I already know about your talented voice, but I'm curious to know instruments do you play?
Whatever I can get my hands on. I grew up, I played saxophone when I was a kid. I haven't played that in a long time.
Really?
Mostly guitar and piano are my two main. You know, I can play really bad bass
okay.
on occasion or mandolin, but yeah, guitar and piano are kind of the main instruments for me.
The fact that you can play any instrument is just amazing to me. I'm enamored by both of your skills with instruments and music in general. So do you have like a regular band that you work with in New York City, or are you putting together something?
I've played with, you know, some really close friends of mine. One of my closest friends is a cellist, and so he and I have worked together a lot. So usually, you know, in New York, it's been cello, piano, and a rhythm section. You know, you asked about influences earlier. Nick Drake was a big one, and so strings have always been kind of a big part of my thing.
And I mean, is Leon part of a band that you're sort of putting together? I understand you two just met recently.
Yeah, you know, I've been gone for such a long time here. I'm trying to get the lay of the land again, and you know, like I mentioned, I'm a huge fan of strings.
Yes.
And so, you know, I can't remember how I stalked him somehow. Looked him up, and yes, you know, I guess they say if you want to play in Texas, you got to have a fiddle in the band.
Oh,
right?
Very good. Nice. Okay. Dang, I wish I had a bell to ring so that since you got that reference in there, that's important to do on any of these interviews. I'm having a lot of fun kind of getting to know about you guys a little bit more. Leon, you know, I'm just going to throw you under the bus real quick, and you are from Denton, and I think you've, of course,
that's correct.
You do some music of your own outside of just playing with Barton, right?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah. In addition to doing session work and teaching, I also have a solo project. It's called Leon Carlo.
Okay.
You can find out more at leoncarlo.com.
Nice.
Playing South by Southwest this year. So
excellent.
I'm looking forward to that.
Very cool. Well, yeah. This was kind of an unexpected discovery for me, you know, learning about you and your music today. So, and this is, as I mentioned to you off the air, this is the first fiddle or violin that anyone's brought into the studio. So
wow.
I know they're the same, but
so no pressure.
This is exciting. Yeah, we're really classing
a lot of pressure.
Classing up the joint here today. So, Barton, ever since I discovered your recent single and started playing it, oftentimes, you know, later in the day, I would have people dropping me a note or stopping me in the hall out here and saying, hey, who did that version of Drive that you played?
Really?
So
that's
this is
cool.
This is something that really is striking a chord with people because, you know, for various reasons, it's you know, a beloved song. I think so many of us have, you
sure.
know, good memories of this growing up. You know, for me, it takes me back to the days when MTV, the M stood for music, you know, mm-hmm. and they would
right.
show music videos, and the Cars were like, you know, just one of these groups that every month it seemed like they had a stunning video coming out.
Definitely.
So I, you know, takes me back to my youth and everything. But how did you decide to record your version of the Cars' Drive?
I mean, you know, I'd heard it as a kid and I'd seen that video. It was the black and white one all over MTV.
Oh yeah,
you know, I remembered that. But it was odd. It was kind of I actually played it at a friend's wedding in upstate New York, and then started kind of playing it at shows. And my best friend Danny Musengo, who fronts a band called the Ludlow Thieves. He really twisted my arm to take it in the studio and said he wanted to produce it. And
okay,
I kind of was dragging my feet because I didn't, you know, sort of see the point. But we ended up tracking it in a couple different studios in New York over the summer. And I got to give him credit for forcing me in there. But we had a great time. And it's not that's, you know, you forget how meaningful these songs are to people. You know, a lot of people really kind of treasure that original.
Yeah.
You know, it's such a great Benjamin Orr. I guess that was one of the few that, or I think he sang some of the biggest hits. But, you know, it's just such a great song, and his performance in particular.
I guess you could say it's risky sometimes to cover a song that's so well known as this, because, you know, if you mess it up, people are going to be like,
right.
What have you done to this beloved classic?
Right. No, totally.
But you really kind of did this original justice. Who's going to hold you down when you shake? Who's gonna come around when you break? Can't go on thinking nothing's wrong. Who's gonna drive you home tonight? Oh. You can't go on thinking nothing's wrong. Who's gonna drive you home tonight? That's Drive, originally done by the Cars, covered there by Barton Stanley David, who is my special guest this afternoon on 88.9 KETR. You're listening to Notably Texan. My name is Matt Minky. Glad to have you here. So, Barton, what's your prediction of where the music business is heading? Because it really is kind of, I guess some would say, in turmoil. You know, I mean, it's nothing like it was 10, 20 years ago.
For sure.
Because record stores aren't a thing anymore. Records weren't a thing, but now they're a thing again. But you know what I'm saying.
Right, right. You know, it's going to be interesting for sure. I mean, the kind of old conventional model still sort of exists with just smaller, more independent and mid-sized record labels. And so, you know, you can kind of see a template. At least I have some friends that are living some semblance of like the old model.
Yeah.
But it's definitely, you know, obviously changed pretty radically. And even the album format, you know, people, it seems like, are just churning out, you know, they have to be churning out content every so often. So you get singles kind of here and there. And Spotify has obviously kind of really taken off.
Yes,
the last couple of years in popularity. So I have no idea. It's a good question.
Well, I know that's an impossible question to answer. You know, I'm just always curious to know what artists, you know, what their prediction is of what's going to happen, because you know, I think there's an entire generation out there that's never bought a song in their lives. You know,
right.
If they want to hear something, they go type it into YouTube and play the often illegal video that's posted there of the song. You know,
well, I think the reassuring thing is you can still kind of beat the street. You know, you can still get that immediate sort of feedback of getting out in front of people.
Right.
So that doesn't seem like it's going anywhere, but the rest of it's definitely pretty up in the air.
I've been hearing a lot of lamenting from artists about how they don't really get much from having their stuff played on Spotify, that you have to have like a million spins before you get a few dollars or something.
No, I have a friend, I won't mention his name, but not a household name by any stretch, but he has a song on Spotify that's got over 12 million hits plays.
Wow.
And yeah, he's not, I mean, I don't know if he's seen $12 from that.
Gotcha. He's not rich from that. No, that's pretty sad. You know, I mean, you would think that that number of plays would garner some sort of, you know, good pay on their part, but that's not necessarily the way it works. So.
And I think on YouTube, it may be a different story, but I'm actually the worst person in the world to ask. I'm the least tech savvy person ever.
So it's got to be tough as a performer who's, you know, just trying to be heard and climb your way up the ranks with fewer and fewer music outlets that are not owned by the conglomerates. I'm talking about radio stations here. Mm-hmm. You know, we are a non-commercial radio station, so that enables me to, you know, talk to you guys at length and not worry about, oh gosh, I got to stop and play a bunch of, you know, commercials and advertisements, because we don't do that on this station. So, I mean, is it really kind of a struggle out there with fewer and fewer places where you can even send out your music for them to consider it, much less play it?
Yeah, you know, I suppose that's always tough. I mean, that, you know, I have a great kind of old school radio promoter in New York named Peter Hay, who's been doing this since, I don't know, gosh, the early 70s, late 60s. But yeah, you know, it is tough, and it does seem that, you know, there's some pixie dust element where, you know, you need sort of word of mouth or the right person to, it seems like it's all about context and maybe not even so much about music sometimes.
Well, and kind of tying into that, I would love to hear your testimonial to our listeners about why simply listening to a station like KETR isn't enough as a non-commercial station. You know, we're not selling the ads, not making a profit, first off, because we're a non-profit station, but we're not selling endless advertisements. Why do listeners need to support their local public radio station?
I mean, I grew up, and not just local radio, but local record stores. I mean, I think, you know, you really are informing people's tastes, especially you're on a college campus and younger people. And, you know, I think that's really important. And there's definitely ways, you know, I guess there's digital ways you can find new music. But I think it's great when you have something that's really curated, you know, with a lot of interesting content, and it can really sort of shape people's, you know, musical tastes. So definitely important to support non-com radio, I think.
And Leon, I know you've wanted to stay passive over there, but do you have any comments about public radio? Because, you know, you live over in the Denton area. They've got a public station there, but it's more jazz-oriented, I believe. But, yeah. I mean, has public radio been a big part of your life?
Yes, and actually in Denton, we have a new public radio station as well.
So obviously, yeah, that's something that you have consumed through your life as public radio.
Which is why it's such a pleasure to be here. You know, I'm all about supporting local ways to get the word out about the arts and music.
Well, we hope that you will kind of feel the same way, listener, and if you want to help us out, you can go to KETR.org and click donate. It's really been a treat for me to get to know more about each of you. Leon, we'll have to have you back sometime and hear a little bit more about your projects, man.
Sure.
I'm glad that we got to meet.
Yeah.
And and Barton, I wish you all the best, man.
Thank you so much.
You know that Texas would welcome you back with open arms if you decide to move back here, man.
That's always nice to hear. Well, thanks so much for having me. It's great.
Hey, let's make sure that people know where they can find you guys, by the way. I'm sure that you both have a web presence.
I'm on the interwebs. It's BartonStanleyDavid.com or Facebook.com/BartonStanleyDavid, and Instagram, BartonStanleyDavid.
Gotcha.
Wherever you interweb.
You've got one of those unique names, too, that there are not a whole lot of other Barton Stanley Davids out
there. It's Googleable.
And it's a very memorable name, too, I might say. So.
Oh, thank you. It's the one they gave me.
Leon, did you have anything you wanted to plug, because you're a member of some stuff too? So
certainly, yeah. Well, I try to keep my presence updated as often as possible on leoncarlo.com, so you can check me out there. And I also work at a music school in Denton called Bonduras Music.
Okay, cool.
All right, Matt, thanks so much.
All good. But it's good to see you.